5. Let us hear God's word. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I raised thee up under the apple tree. There thy mother brought thee forth. There she brought thee forth that bare thee. And it's just those words at the beginning of the text tonight I'd like us to look at for a few moments. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? Dear brethren, how important it is that we daily lean upon the beloved of our souls. And as we think of this, let people see where our faith is placed. Let people take note that we are leaning upon our beloved friend. Note these words here. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? Here is one looking at the scene, looking at a people, a believer, leaning on the beloved of their souls. Well, as people look on, do they look on at you leaning upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? There's a looking on. We see here the people of God leaning upon Christ. Now here in the Song of Solomon, we are chiefly presented with Christ and then the church. Our Lord made it abundantly plain that in all the scriptures, which include the Song of Solomon, there are those things which concern him. You recall when our Lord appeared to those two who were on the road to Emmaus, he said this in Luke 24, verse 25. O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. As they journeyed, he opened up the scriptures and he reasoned with them. He expounded unto them. In all the scriptures, he showed them the Messiah, the Lord, the things concerning himself. In all the scriptures, we think there of the Old Testament there, our Lord, which he particularly was considering. And so when we come to Genesis, we are soon presented with the Lord Jesus Christ. We begin with creation and how God made this world. And if you go to John chapter 1, we see that the Lord, and we can particularly focus on the Son, he was involved in the creation of this world. But we know that creation was marred by Adam's sin. And we read there in Genesis 3 of the fall of mankind. But then we're presented with the glorious gospel in that chapter. And so we could go through Genesis. We come to Joseph, and we see in Joseph a great type of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember those words? They were to go unto Joseph. There was famine. The people were to go unto Joseph, and there was provision to be found in him. And all we consider that one is to go to Jesus, for there is provision to be found in him. Well, we can consider Genesis. Then Exodus, so much for us there in Exodus. Leviticus and so on and so forth. We come to Samuel and we see those things of the Lord Jesus Christ. We turn to the book of Psalms, and there we are so often led to consider Jesus in the Psalms. His life, his death upon the cross at Calvary, which is so clearly set forth in a most amazing way. There was once a Baptist minister not too far away in London a few years ago, C.H. Spurgeon. When he came to Psalm 22, in his introduction to that psalm, he wrote this: "This is beyond all others the psalm of the cross. It is a photograph of our Lord's saddest hours, the record of his dying words. David and his afflictions may be here in a very modified sense, but as the star is concealed by the light of the sun, He who sees Jesus will probably neither see nor care to see David. Before us we have a description, both of the darkness and of the glory of the cross, the sufferings of Christ and the glory which shall follow. Oh, for grace to draw near and see this great sight. Oh, how we see the Lord Jesus Christ in the Psalms. We view his death in a most amazing way. Remember those words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? They're the words of the Lord Jesus through the psalmist. We view his death, we also view his resurrection. And then we hear his voice in the Psalms. Psalm 22, verse 22. In the midst of the church, in the congregation, will I praise thee. We hear his voice. In the Psalms, we're listening to the voice of Jesus as we read and sing the Psalms. Well, we could go on as we think of Christ in all the scriptures. Now, in turning to the Song of Solomon, in view of what Christ said on the road to Emmaus, we simply see Jesus here in the song. And we look chiefly for Christ in the song. Now, one of the keys to unlock the song is the 45th Psalm. And that song is known as a song of loves. A song of loves. We'll think here, the Song of Solomon, we see much love towards the beloved and the beloved's love towards the bride. Psalm 45, a song of loves, and we see Jesus there. And as we go through that psalm, we see so much truth which is set forth for us here in the Song of Solomon. Well, he then is the beloved, as we come to our text tonight. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? And here we see the church, here we see the child of God, leaning upon the beloved of their souls, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, for the remainder of the time tonight, I'd like us to note, first of all, the beloved, secondly, faith, and then thirdly, the believer. The beloved, faith, the believer. First of all, the beloved. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? Now, often people speak of their loved ones, and you particularly think, others particularly think of family members, particular ones that are loved, beloved. Consider the husband who thinks of his beloved wife. Beloved. I seek every day to tell my wife how much I love her. And so we should, we who are married. We should every day seek to tell our spouses how much we love them. Well, the wife thinks of her beloved husband, the beloved one. She loves him, delights to spend time with him. She seeks to help him, spend time together. That is what we're exhorted to do. We're to seek to say loving things. Well, he is the beloved in her heart. Loved ones then. We can think of any other family members. We speak of our loved ones, don't we? We miss our loved ones. When we go away, we miss our loved ones. I was away in Scotland this week. I missed my loved ones. Beloved ones. Oh, consider Jesus, the beloved of the soul, the chief beloved one, leaning upon her beloved. He is the beloved. Yes, we have a number of beloved ones, but he's the one, the beloved of the soul. Now, Christ is the beloved son. You recall at his transfiguration, there was a voice which said, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him, my beloved son." Such love of the Father to the Son. Such love, such infinite love of the Father to the Son. And Christ, the beloved of the Father, my beloved Son. all such love from all eternity. Christ said in that high priestly prayer, John 17, verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. And we see there, as our Lord was drawing near to the cross, he was conscious of love that was towards him. Yes, he would cry those words, as we've already mentioned tonight, in Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Where is the gracious presence of the Lord? He did not sense it for a while, but he knew there in that prayer that there was love for him. For thou lovest me. And as we think of such love from eternity, such great love, our Lord spoke of it there. Well, think of the love of the Father at this very moment. There is such infinite love in the heart of the Father towards the Son at this very moment. Such love. The Father is looking at the Son with such love. There was that voice, my beloved Son. And he is still the beloved Son. Such love exists in the Godhead. The Father's love to the Son. The Son's love to the Father. The Father's love to the Spirit. The Spirit's love to the Father and the Son, and so on. Such love. We think of the Lord. He is the beloved Son. But he's also known as the beloved friend. Song of Solomon 5 verse 16, his mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. And you see there is love to Christ in the believer's heart. There is love towards the chief friend, the beloved of the soul. We've already thought of loved ones. We can think of friends, and we have friends whom we love. We have loved ones. But he's the chief one, isn't he? The beloved friend. What a wonderful thing to have love in the heart for Jesus. We thought of the beloved Son. The Father at this very moment has such love to the Son. There's such love exercised towards the Son. Is there love exercised towards the beloved one tonight in your soul? The beloved one. In Mottisham, there's a certain elderly love lady who, when she comes to the door, starts speaking to me of Jesus. And you can just see the love in her heart, on her face. She loves the Lord. She always speaks of the Lord, and you can see her heart is moved. Is your heart moved? Is your heart affected by Jesus? The beloved, my beloved, my friend. Are you an acquaintance? You know those words in the Song of Solomon 5 verse 16. My beloved. What a wonderful thing to think of the Lord Jesus. He's the beloved Son, and he's my beloved. The one who is in glory is my beloved. He's my friend. You see, there's an acquaintance with Christ. Are you an acquaintance? We think of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is in glory. Is he in your heart? There's love there. My beloved. Love towards Christ. Sadly, the cold can set in. Autumn's arrived, hasn't it? And I'm told this week we're really going to know it's autumn. The temperatures are going to drop. The nights are pulling in. The cold is setting in. Is there coldness at times setting into your soul? You know how it is at times. Suddenly, at times, we can feel the coldness, and we can so feel the coldness in our souls. But at other times, particularly in the autumn, it's gradual, isn't it? For a while, each day, it gets colder. And that's how it can be. It can be gradual. He's not recognized to begin with, but each day the cold sets into the soul a little more. Then after a while we begin to say, by night on my bed I sought him, whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. We don't like the winter, do we? I don't like the winter in my soul. When you think of the winter, it's so warm compared to the winter in my soul at times. Is there coldness setting into your soul? All for warmth. All for warmth when you sense the cold is setting in. When it's cold, what do? You desire to get near a heater. You turn the heating up. Oh, when you know it's getting cold in your soul. Oh, to know what it is to have a warmth in your heart again. Oh, for a heart so moved towards Christ. Now, we considered earlier the Song of Solomon, rather Psalm 45, the Song of Loves. And we know at times David, his heart was cold. But there in that psalm, David is so taken with Christ. Psalm 45, verse 1. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made, touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. My heart's inditing. Literally to boil, to bubble. There's activity. There's much activity in the soul of David towards Christ. The heart is warmed. We thought of the road to Emmaus tonight. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And he opened the scriptures. You remember when they got to the place? And after our Lord had gone, they said, did not our heart warm within us while he opened to us the scriptures? Did not our heart warm within us? All to know the warmth. And those are amazing words. Their hearts began to warm, and yet they still did not know who it was. And sometimes our hearts begin to warm before we sense the Lord has drawn near. But all to know it. And are we not thankful the Lord draws near? And we begin to know the warmth of the soul before at times we sense it is the Lord. How gracious he is. Before we sense him, before we particularly focus afresh our eye on the Lord, he at times begins to warm the soul. Oh, to know that warmth within. A heart in motion. My heart is inditing a good matter. It's boiling. At times the heart can beat strongly in view of sin. One can be drawn, pulled. What a blessing to have the heart beating strongly for Jesus. The beloved of the soul. My beloved, what do we read here? Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? You think of Jesus? Is he the one you love above anyone else? In Psalm 116, verse 1, we read, I love the Lord. You know, we thought earlier of saying to our wife or to our husband, I love you. And we should seek to say it every day. How often do we tell Jesus that we love him? I love the Lord. Now consider our Lord sung those words not long before he went to the cross. In the garden, rather in John 17, we saw already tonight that the Son considered the love of the Father. Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Consider the Son's love at that time towards the Father. I love the Lord. As he sung those words, he expressed his love to the Father. Oh, follow Christ's example and make known afresh your love to him each and every day. And think there, Christ was in a veil of sorrow. The cross stood before him. He was already enduring the wrath of God, but things were intensifying, and they would come to a great climax when he would cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Where is the gracious presence of the Lord? I love the Lord. As he viewed great sorrow, he expressed his love he had towards the Father. In the valley of affliction, make known your love to Christ. You may not sense the Lord's nearness, but make known your love to Christ. I think when our Lord said those words, he's viewing the cross. I love the Lord. He's viewing his death. I love the Lord. But then he's viewing that time when his soul would go to glory. I love the Lord, he said. And then his resurrection. I love the Lord. Well, think of those things. In the veil of affliction, make known your love to the Lord. Dear brethren, we do not face the wrath of God as the Saviour did, but we do face chastisement at times. Make known your love to the Lord. In view of death, there's no fearful sting for you, dear child of God, in view of death. Yes, death is a valley. There will be difficulties, but there's no fearful sting. O death, where is thy sting? Our Lord, through what he did, has taken it away. I love the Lord in view of death. I love the Lord. Make known that you love him. In view of that moment when your soul will go to be with Jesus, say tonight, I love the Lord. Think of that time in glory. I love the Lord. Then the resurrection. Remember, our Lord was thinking of his resurrection. I love the Lord. In view of your resurrection, what a wonderful day it will be. The redemption of the body, glorification. I love the Lord. Look forward. Christ in the veil of affliction. Look forward and made known his love to the Father. You're in a veil of affliction. Look forward to blessing and make known your love you have towards the Lord. The beloved. He's the beloved of the soul. We should often be talking to Jesus one-to-one, telling him how much we love him. But note, just before we move on, those words there in verse 5, who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? Remember earlier, one is looking on, leaning on her beloved. Is Jesus seen to be the one you love and love above all? Her beloved, they're looking on. There is one, they're leaning on her beloved. And then think also the blessing of Christ belonging to the believer. Her beloved. It's seen they're loving Jesus. What a wonderful thing when others know we love Jesus. But then consider the blessing that Christ belongs to the believer. Her beloved. Dear child of God, you have Christ in your life. Christ liveth in me. He is our beloved. Oh, love him. Tell him tonight how much you love him and how much you are thankful for him. This is my beloved and this is my friend. You know, young ones, you may not have many true friends in this world. And friends may let you down, but Jesus will never let you down. He is the chief friend. And what a privilege to be able to say, this is my beloved, and this is my friend. What a blessing that others look on. I'm leaning on the beloved Saviour. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? Well, secondly, more briefly, faith. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? Leaning. You think of a young child. At certain times, they lean on their mum or dad. They rest themselves upon their mum or dad. Now in Isaiah 50 verse 10 we read, Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and have no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. This staying, this leaning, it speaks of faith, leaning, trusting. And so in this text we consider faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ. Just those words, leaning upon her beloved. We considered the beloved. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we consider faith. Leaning upon the beloved. And it's a most precious description of faith, isn't it? We can see faith as eating and drinking. Christ is the bread of heaven. And through faith one eats and drinks. We can consider Christ as the door. And entering is a picture of faith. What a precious description we have here of faith. Leaning upon her beloved. And we think of faith and we think of affection alongside. Leaning upon her beloved. Now we're told here, who is this that cometh up from the wilderness? Now think of a wilderness, a barren place. And so we particularly consider that one is in such a place by nature. One is in such a wilderness in unregeneracy. One is not born again. What a wilderness. What a barren place the soul is without grace. How empty the soul is without Jesus Christ. You know, we can meet people and yes, they can appear outwardly confident. They can know a measure of joy and they seem to be happy at times. And well, life seems to be going well at times and they seem to have certain things, yet they're not loving the Lord. Their soul is a barren place. For anyone here tonight, your soul is a barren place. Because you're not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a barren place the soul is without grace. No true good grows there. There's no faith. There's no grace of love. Think of love. There is no true love to God. They cannot truly say, I love the Lord. We thought of those words earlier. Psalm 116, verse 1, I love the Lord. And dear brethren, we echoed those words, didn't we? We didn't say it audibly, but we said them in our heart to Jesus. I love the Lord. But one who does not love the Lord, one whose heart is barren, has never known what it really is to say, I love the Lord. There's no true love to God, and there's no true love to the brethren. 1 John 3 verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And we see plainly there that the grace of love, that special grace, is not found in the heart of unbelievers. Read those words again. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Those without Christ, though they may have a natural love. The unbelieving husband may say to his wife, I love you. But they don't love the beloved. And they don't love his people. There's no true love in the soul. What a barren place. No love to God. And no true love to the brethren. What a barren place. Life must be put within. Yet what do we read here? Verse 5. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness? Here's one. They've come up from the wilderness. What a lovely picture. Faith has been put in. And they've been brought out of bondage. Life has been given. They're coming up from the wilderness. They come out from the wilderness. Up to that point, they lived their lives with no true love to the Lord. There was barrenness in their soul. But the Holy Spirit worked and put life within, faith within, love within. And here they are now. They've come up. Where are you tonight? Have you come up from the wilderness? Or is your soul still like a wilderness? There's no activity towards Christ in your soul. Or have you come up? Faith has been put within. And in your soul now, you're looking unto Jesus. Who is this that cometh up? Oh, there's still indwelling sin in my soul. But I'm thankful my soul is not a barren wilderness now. There's Christ within. There's faith within. There's love within. There's some good within the soul. One's leaning on the beloved. How precious is the gift of faith. One receives and rests in Christ. Psalm 37, verse 7, rest in the Lord. We think here of leaning, think of resting. It's so lovely description, isn't it? One who has so been burdened by sin now is resting in the Saviour. One who's known the bondage of sin is leaning upon the beloved. Oh, what a precious description of faith. One receives and rests in him. Rest in the Lord, leaning on the beloved. In the Catechism we read, faith in Jesus Christ is a saving grace whereby we receive and rest upon him alone for salvation. And he is offered to us in the gospel. Leaning on the beloved. The eye is focused on Jesus. One looks to him. One trusts his righteousness and his righteousness alone. One's leaning on him alone. Notice verse 5. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness? Leaning upon her beloved. See where faith has found itself placed. Upon the beloved. Are you leaning upon him? Are you resting on him? Many years ago, I was in a service. I fell asleep at the beginning of the sermon and woke up at the end. And I was leaning on this old man. I didn't know who he was. When I saw him a few years later, I couldn't go and say hello because I was so embarrassed. But there I was leaning on this old man with my head on his shoulder. Are you leaning upon the beloved one, the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, dear brethren, lean on the Christ. When you're in a difficult situation, lean on him. When you're in a situation and you feel trapped, you know what that's like? You feel trapped. Lean on him. Where's the way of escape? As we read and considered this morning, where is it? You feel trapped. The way of escape hasn't come yet. While you're waiting for the way of escape, lean upon your beloved. Lean on him. Are you weary? Are you tired tonight? Lean on Christ before you rest in your beds tonight. Lean upon him. Look unto Jesus. We fall to the wilderness, the barren place of the soul, but we can also consider this world is like a wilderness, isn't it? There's so much against us as you travel through this world. Lean upon the beloved. Lean on him. Rest on him. Look to him. Spend time. Now notice these words here. We see this one leaning upon her beloved. See the closeness. See there is union with Christ. Leaning upon her beloved. Oh, to get closer to Christ. He's close to us. But oh, to get closer to him. Lean more on him. Talk more to him. Think more often. Think of the wife. She delights to spend time alone with her husband and talk to him. You know, at the end of the day, when the children are all in bed, some of them may be asleep, but others aren't, but it's quiet. And now just time with me and my wife to talk together. Or spend time on your own with Jesus. Lean on him. Tell him your difficulties and burden your souls to him at the end of the day. Lord, I am trusting thee. What a blessing to have faith. to look to him, to lean on him. Have you faith? Oh, that faith would be put within. Oh, that you would look to him, that you might know your sins forgiven, and that you might know Jesus in your soul. Well, thirdly and finally, the believer. Just note the beginning of the verse. Who is this? Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? Who is it? Well, we can think, first of all, the church as a whole. And then we can bring it down a little further. The individual believer. Who is this? Think of those who are truly converted. Who is this? We who love the Lord here tonight at Ibsley. Who is this? It's us, collectively, leaning upon the beloved. But then think of the individual believer. Who is this? Can you say tonight, it's me? We thought earlier of the onlooker, looking on. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? They're looking on. If we think of this tonight, it's me, Lord. How do I know if I'm in the church? Galatians 3, verse 26. For we are all the children of God by faith in Christ. By faith. That's how we know if we're in the church. If we truly have faith, we're leaning on him. And those who truly have faith can say, it's me. I'm leaning on the beloved. Who is this? You may be despised by many, but what a blessing. It's me. I'm leaning on the beloved. I'm resting in thee, Lord Jesus. We thought of talking to the beloved of our souls tonight. Tell him that you love him. Show your love to him and show to him that you're looking to him by way of faith. Lord, I'm leaning on thee tonight. I come from a wilderness. My wilderness was a barren place and I was brought up in the sense faith was put within, but still I'm in a wilderness, this world. Tell Jesus you're looking to him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus. He's the author. It began with him. And he's the finisher. It will end with him in eternity to come. What a wonderful day, the redemption of the body. And redemption complete, glorification, and then forever with the Lord. He's the finisher. As you travel through this barren world, look to the end, look to the finisher, and lean on him. He will see you through this barren land. He will see you to the end. No one else can see you to the end. Loved ones in your family who love the Lord, they can be of assistance to comfort you in trial, to speak a word of comfort in the valley of the shadow of death. But it's Jesus who sees the believer, because he, to the end, for he is the finisher. He's the author. It began with him. It ends with him. Place your faith on him tonight. Lean upon the beloved of your soul. Amen. Our final psalm is Psalm 63.